The first Sunday of Lent is Jesus' sojourn in the wilderness. And that's what we're reading today from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it's written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This ends the reading of our holy word. Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This loving your neighbor thing is a challenge for me. The family living right next door to us in our nice neighborhood in Ankeny always has a car under repair in their driveway. Once they fix that car, they bring another car. So there's cars with flat tires. One time they brought a car and the whole top was cut off of it. I think they must be changing the oil in their driveway too, because now the driveway is covered with oil spots and grease spots. And so as I see this, I'm thinking, the value of my house is dropping because of oil spills. So this neighborhood thing's a challenge for me. And it might be a challenge for all of us. But this week, a retired United Methodist minister said to me, "Pastor Denny, when you preach on Sunday morning, make sure that when you preach, don't tell them what they want to hear. Don't tell them what they want to hear, because if you do, they'll lose their spirit." So, I'm taking the advice of my colleague who's retired, and there might be some things we say that don't feel good, aren't comfortable with us, like me preaching on neighbor when my heart toward my neighbor isn't probably where it should be. So I don't want to mess up your spirit, but the spirit is the one that took Jesus into the wilderness. Jesus didn't do this on his own. This wasn't like a vision quest or anything. And I think it's interesting that it happened right after he was baptized. It's the same spirit that was there, that came down on him like a dove. The voice said, "This is my beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." That same spirit led Jesus in the wilderness. You'd think that spirit would lead him to a party. Isn't that what we normally do with baptisms? The family gathers, the grandparents are here, there's a big meal. I've been invited to some of those. Jesus gets the wilderness. But it's interesting because it's very, very similar to what happened to the Hebrew people that left Egypt. They walked through the parted waters of the Red Sea, and then they went to the wilderness. Jesus is baptized, and he heads to the wilderness. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think the author of Matthew put that together like that to remind the readers, Jesus is part of this history. Jesus is part of this whole idea of temptation and wilderness. It says that he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Those numbers should mean something to us. Noah had the flood for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. There's some more numbers around 40. Numerologists go crazy at this time of year when we're talking about 40. We're going to spend 40 days during Lent. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with that other than to say that it continues the story from the Old Testament. Said he was famished too. He must have been fasting. So that's a good thing for the devil to take advantage of, right? The devil comes to Jesus and says, if you are the Son of Man, make these stones into bread. Which, to be honest with you, it doesn't sound like a bad idea. There are probably people that were hungry at those days. The only problem with that is he would miss out on the smell of the bread, wouldn't he? I mean, if someone's baking bread and I walk into the house, my mouth starts to water. Jesus wouldn't get that if he's just changing these stones into bread. I don't think that's why he didn't do it. But I think the reason was that he didn't do it was because the devil wanted Jesus to do something for himself, to satisfy his own hunger. Now, Jesus will perform a miracle later on. He'll feed 5,000 people, and it shows where his ministry's headed. He's not concerned about himself. Jesus has no ego. But he doesn't partake because Satan only wants him to feed himself. Jesus' idea of ministry is to feed many, to feed the 5,000. And speaking of bread, this past week, Lauren and Jan and I had an opportunity to sit with two employees of the Ames School District. I think we were at this table because of the Christmas collection that we took, Christmas offering. These two people had just been in the district and in the community since last fall because their job started at that time. And their position in the Ames School District is student and family advocate. So their responsibility is to get connected to children and their families to find out what children or families are struggling with. These two women each one has about 3 elementary schools they're in charge of. So it was so interesting to hear them talk about the things that they were facing as they met these families over this past 9 months. One of the things that came up was a shocker to us. They'd been at a meeting where people had gathered who were interested in food scarcity. And the report was that Story County has the greatest number of people that suffer from food scarcity in the whole state of Iowa. Of all the counties in the state of Iowa, all 99 counties, Story County has the most people with food insecurity. We were surprised. I was surprised at that. I live in Polk County. I've done ministry in Polk County, and I thought for sure that Polk County would have that. It's Story County. So relaying that information to us, because of the offering that we gave to reduce the school debt, lunch debt, brought us at the table with some Ames employees who continued to tell us of the issues that families are facing. Food insecurity is one of the top ones. The second temptation that Jesus does is, I think this one's pretty silly. He takes Jesus into Jerusalem, puts him up high on the temple, and tells him to throw himself off of it. And that because the devil wants to see the angels come and keep Jesus from falling. Sounds like a circus act to me. And maybe that was the tempter's intent, was to see, to sort of show off, I guess. Jesus says to him, though, you're not supposed to put God to the test, which I think is something like this. God, if you'll do something for me, I'll do something for you in return. That's not what we're supposed to do. Jesus says to not put God to the test. You know, when we put that offering together, $48,000, we didn't do it to draw attention to Collegiate Wesley. We did it for the families. I think Jesus is trying to help us to understand, where's our focus in ministry? Why are we about this? How does that fulfill or work into God's expectations? The two family advocates went on to tell us that some of the people that they had talked to, they gave us an example of one family who paid $1,600 a month for rent. Because of the high rent and the other bills that they have to pay, the parents are both working. They've staggered their hours of work so that they don't have to pay for childcare. Someone told me this past week that in Story County, it can cost anywhere from $900 to $1,200 for childcare. So this family that they were talking about can't afford childcare, so they staggered their work hours so that they don't need any childcare. Parents can take care of them when the other one's not working. The other thing they struggle with is that the insurance that they pay, health insurance, they have to pay a certain much into the company's health insurance plan. And they can't afford that. So they have no health insurance. And because their company offered that to them, they're not eligible for Obamacare. So these family advocates are trying to figure out how to help these families negotiate all of this. I was talking to a retired superintendent of schools this past week in a county seat town in Iowa, and I asked him how much the teachers and the employees of the school district have to pay for health insurance. And he said, well, if you're a single person, you don't pay anything. If you're single, pay nothing in this particular school district. If you're a family, you pay $1,200 a month. I'm just trying to add all this up in my head. If you think about the rent, so I'm not sure what the issue is with Ames. This person I was talking to was from a county in northwest Iowa. But if you think about car payments and the rent and whatever bills they have, probably don't think much about running up the debt at the school lunch, because they know the kids are going to be fed. So it's just interesting to hear these stories about how this debt became so large in the Ames School District. So the third temptation for Jesus is Satan takes him up on this mountain, shows him all these kingdoms, and says, Jesus, these are all yours if you bow down and worship me. Well, I've often wondered how did Satan know that he had control of all these kingdoms? And I surmise that maybe he's a spokesperson for the Roman Empire. Because with Jesus up on the mountain and he looks out across, all he's going to see is the Roman Empire. That's what the known world was. Is Satan a salesperson for the Roman Empire? Jesus' answer to that is, after Satan asked him to worship him, is that I only worship the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, thinking about these three temptations and thinking about Jesus' response and adding that into this, these two Ames Community School employees, it just seemed like it was all fitting together, because Jesus asked us to pay attention to the Word of God, to live by that, love your neighbor as yourself. He says for us to not put the Lord to your test, that we are to be about, our reasons need to be pure for why we are serving and why we follow Christ, and to love only God. So the things that these Ames employees talked about seem to just spill out on the table so many different issues. We're talking about affordable housing. We're talking about food insecurity. Some of these families are immigrants. We're talking about a livable wage. Talking about affordable child care. It was just so interesting to hear them talk about these families that they're being introduced to, and how can we as a community meet the needs of these folks? And how can we help them travel through these, filling out forms and trying to find out where there's help for them? All of this, as I said, came about, I think, because of the offering that we gave at Christmas time. The two women who met with us were excited about possibly having some kind of partnership with the church. I don't know what that's going to look like. The Sending to Serve cluster is going to take a look at this to see what ministries might sprout out of this dilemma. These folks are the working poor. These folks, it feels like, are in the wilderness. And these folks are our neighbor. They might be invisible neighbors, but they are our neighbors. What ministries do we have in place that will help and assist? What ministries might we begin to help us fulfill what our mission is and to give them assistance in their lives? To understand what the wilderness is for the working poor. We've been living in this house in Ankeny for about 7 years. About 3 years into the ministry, or into our housing, during Christmas we heard the doorbell go off. So I went to the door and opened it. There was our neighbor, the greasy, oily, wrecked car neighbor. And they are Laotian. And he had in his hand a bowl of egg rolls. Warm, fresh egg rolls. And he handed it to me and said, "Merry Christmas." This is the man that I was frustrated with, that I was judging. We didn't go to him first. He came to us. We had children visiting us at that time, and so the egg rolls lasted about 5 minutes. They were really good. And then ever since then, whenever our children show up at Christmas time, or any holiday actually, and the doorbell goes off, someone yells, "Egg rolls!" Everyone's mouth starts to water. And he's been consistent every year. Patty and I felt guilty of our thoughts and their gift to us. So we gave them a gift. We gave them fudge and candy and cookies, sugar cookies. They gave us a really healthy egg roll, these foreigners. We gave them, I hope it's not a heart attack. I'll tell you though, when I went to the door and opened it, there were grandchildren there. And when they saw the fudge and the cookies and the candy, their eyes got that big around. We are called to be good neighbors. Sometimes the neighbors turn out to be different than what we thought. And sometimes we have to overcome our fears to love our neighbors. Jesus tells us to stay in the Word, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. So you can also go down to the Wesley Hall in the bottom of the church to have a meal today. It's a fundraiser for the missions for the high school youth. So you've been fed here spiritually, and you can be fed downstairs as well. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord shine light upon you and your neighbor in all that you do. Amen.